My name is Alex Gregory. I'm a lecturer in the philosophy department here at Southampton. So today I'm going to talk about whether anyone is genuinely kind. It seems pretty clear that sometimes we perform actions which are to our own benefit, that are motivated by the payoffs for ourselves. So for example, when you're deciding which career to pursue or which route to take to work, it's pretty clear that often we'll make those sorts of decisions on the basis of the payoffs to ourselves. So you might choose the career that will pay you more money, or you might take the route to work, which is shorter or more convenient, or whatever else. Our question is whether people ever do things for another reason, whether we're ever motivated in another way, namely by a concern for other people, whether we're motivated by the fact that so-and-so needs help, whether that can ever be our motive for behaving as we do. So that's our question, and there's sort of two views. So one of those views is called egoism. So egoism says that people are uniformly self-interested. So everything you do is ultimately done only because of the payoff to yourself. So they've got an easy time with the cases I already gave, where you decide which route to work to take or which career to choose, because it seems pretty clear that those are self-interested. They've got a harder time in other cases where it looks as though we're altruistic. So perhaps on your way into this room, you held the door open for the person behind you. That looks like an act of altruism, an act aimed at benefiting someone else. So egoists will have to tell some story to make good sense of actions like that. But they'll say if we look deep enough, we'll find some self-interested motive that led you to perform that action. So that's egoism. The alternative view, the one that I prefer, we won't give a name, it's just the denial of egoism. So people like me think people's motivations are fairly varied. Sometimes, it's true, people perform actions which are done for self-interested reasons. Definitely want to accept that. But I think people also sometimes perform actions for altruistic reasons. Sometimes they're motivated to help people for the benefit to them. That's the idea. So there's a debate between egoists, uniform self-interest, and the rest of us, who think that we're sometimes self-interested, sometimes altruistic. That's the debate we're going to talk about. And I hope it's clear that this is an important and interesting debate. I mean, it's just intrinsically interesting, so it seems to me, to ask this question, to think about human nature and what people are like. But it's also important for various other reasons. So one way in which it's important is for your sort of personal life, the way that you make decisions, the way you think about your interactions with other people. So if you think that your friends, lovers, colleagues, whatever else, are always doing the things that they do purely on the basis of the benefit it brings to them, that might affect how you interact with them. It might make you less endeared with your lover. You might come to have a slightly lower opinion of them. That would be sad. In other cases, such as with your colleagues, it might affect how you interact in terms of how you try and get them to do things. If you want someone to do you a favour, you might, if you believe in egoism, always try and make sure that there's some incentive for them to do it. You won't just ask for a bare favour if you think that people never do such things, if people are only ever motivated by self-interest. So this debate is interesting in our personal lives. It's interesting and important for political decision-making. When we're setting policy in various areas, we need to decide what humans are like, what our natures are, what sorts of things get us to do things. So to take just one illustrative example, and it's just an example, if you think that people can be genuinely kind, you might be happier to rely on people's sense of duty to get them to do the work that they're assigned to do. Whereas if you believe egoism, you might think that we always need to give people incentives to do their work. So one example, as I say, only illustrative, performance-related pay for teachers. It might seem, according to egoism, that's bound to be a great idea. We need to give them an incentive to do good things for the students that they're teaching. Others, me perhaps, might be, again just an example, might be less sympathetic to that. We might think we could maybe rely on teachers to motivate themselves to do a good job out of the natural concern that they'll feel for their students. A final way in which this debate matters is for moral theorising. So I'm a moral philosophy, I'm interested in our duties to other people and so on. And that whole sort of subject matter is undercut in a certain way if egoism is true. Because lots of our moral duties, it seems, are duties to be kind to other people, to help them in certain ways, to give to charity, not to hurt people, so on and so forth. Now, if egoism is true, if we're always purely self-interested, these moral requirements on us are, at best, just totally pointless. They tell us to do things, be kind to people, give to charity, that just aren't ever going to get us to do anything, right? We're just not motivated to do those things unless there's a payoff for us. We tend to think that moral duties are precisely duties to do things even when it isn't in your interest. If we're only motivated by self-interest, then it seems like moral duties are in a certain sense pointless. They tell us to do things that we're incapable of doing. It would be a bit like telling a heavily disabled person, physically disabled person, that they ought to run a marathon soon. Just as that would be pointless, it's silly to tell someone who is incapable of being kind that they ought to be more kind. It seems like that's a bad recommendation to make. So, hopefully I've got you to understand the debate and why it's interesting. Here's how things are going to go from here. I'm going to start off by giving you some examples that look as though they count against egoism, that look as though they undermine that view. So at that point in time, you should hopefully be with me, thinking, yeah, egoism is a bad view. Then I'll go through some arguments for egoism, three arguments for egoism. And the idea is that those arguments will make you more confident that egoism is true and allow egoism to accommodate those counterexamples that I'll give shortly. So by the end of that point in the talk, hopefully you've gone the other way. You'll be thinking, well, actually, this egoism view, that's not so bad. It can accommodate these examples. It's got all these other things going for it. And then in the last section of the paper, I'll go back the other way. I'll argue against those arguments for egoism. I'll provide replies to them. I'll try and explain why they don't work. And so hopefully, by the end of the talk, you'll be back with me again, back thinking that egoism is false, altruism is possible, people are sometimes genuinely kind. All right, so first of all, let's move on to our examples. So a couple of things we should take stock of here. So one thing is we might sit here for a little while and talk about particular instances of people being very selfish, very self-interested. I'm sure we can think of all sorts of examples of people being really mean or doing things cruel to others for their own benefit or whatever else. Those cases, though, aren't going to help resolve this debate. Of course, such cases aren't going to count against egoism, but they're also not going to count against my view. Because remember, I said people's motivations are varied. I'd absolutely agree. People are sometimes self-interested. So I'm perfectly happy to admit that there are these cases where people do really mean things for others for the sake of themselves. What's distinctive about my view is that, though that's sometimes true, I also think this other thing is possible, altruism. So I think we should just ignore cases of self-interest. Everyone agrees that that happens and is possible, and certainly I personally want to agree that that happens more often than it should. Another kind of example that's not going to help settle this debate are cases of unintentional altruism. So imagine that you accidentally leave your wallet behind and someone else takes the money, and they are thereby benefited. They get the advantage of having this money. It looks like, in one very thin sense, you've behaved altruistically. You've benefited this person by your actions. Obviously, egoists are happy to allow that that sort of thing happens. Because, of course, that's unintentional. This debate is not about whether our actions benefit people, but about what our motives are. And if you left behind your wallet only accidentally, it's not like you did that in order to benefit a stranger. It was just not even intentional behaviour of yours. So we'll ignore unintentional effects of our actions. The other thing that won't settle this debate are cases of what we might call instrumental altruism. So imagine that I go out for a drink down the pub and I buy a round of drinks. That might look like altruism because I'm, you know, benefiting these other people by buying their drinks for them. But I might be doing that only because I expect them to buy me a drink back, and maybe I think, on the whole, this system will benefit me, the system of buying in rounds. Or, for another example, imagine that I go for a job interview, and while I'm heading there, I hold the door open for the person behind me. That might look like altruism, but perhaps it's motivated by self-interest. Perhaps I'm doing it just because I'm worried that that person behind me is going to be one of the interviewers, and I don't want to cheese them off before we even get started. So in cases like that, we've got actions that look altruistic, but turn out to be at bottom motivated in egoistic ways, so motivated in self-interested ways. Those won't settle this debate either, because the egoists can allow that that happens, because remember, their view is just that our fundamental motivations are always self-interested. They're happy to allow that as a means to that end, in order to try and secure benefits for yourself, you might sometimes find that you have to help other people along the way. So the real cases we want are cases of altruism for altruism's sake, where you help someone purely for the benefit to them. So here are a bunch of cases that might seem to be cases of that kind. So here's a fairly trivial one. If you're stopped in the street and someone asks you for the time, you'll stop and you'll give them the time. Right? You just won't think anything of it, really. You'll just do that. That looks like a very minor act of altruism. Very minor, but it's an act of altruism, and that's enough to undermine egoism. You take a brief hit, you give up some of your time to give them the time, thereby benefiting them, and it's natural to think that in that sort of case, the reason you do that is because, you know, it just seems like, well, it will help them. It will help them in whatever way. So there's one sort of very minor case of altruism. Here's another case. People give blood. People regularly go and get stabbed by needles to have their blood sucked out of them for the benefit of strangers. That sort of sacrifice of time, that sort of psychological stress they put themselves under. You know, some people give blood who don't like it at all. They really hate going through this process. But it looks as though they're doing that out of altruism. They're doing it because they think, well, otherwise someone out there will die, or whatever else it might be. So that too looks like an instance of altruism. And again, altruism for altruism's sake. Another case, once you start noticing these things, they crop up everywhere. When you're driving around at night, and you're driving down sort of remote country roads, you'll put your car headlights on full beam so you can see where you're going. But another car is coming in the other direction, you'll take your car headlights off full beam in order not to blind the oncoming driver. Now perhaps part of what motivates you there is a worry that if you don't do that, they might crash into you. Perhaps there's some self-interest at work there. But it seems pretty clear, at least to me, that there's also some concern for them there. It's not just that you don't want them to crash into you. You don't want to cause them to crash into anything. You don't want to cause a car accident for someone else. You don't want them to come to harm as a result of your actions. That too looks like altruism, the way that we turn our car headlights off full beam for the sake of oncoming drivers. One nice thing about these cases, by the way, is that the relevant people are all strangers. It's not like you're doing it for your mates or whatever else it might be. Another case, people volunteer for Oxfam and other charities. People give up their Saturdays to work in the Oxfam bookshop, or they give up their Saturdays to go and, I don't know, talk to people about wildlife in the New Forest, or whatever else it might be. That too looks like trying to benefit strangers, like we're performing altruistic acts. Two last cases, more extreme cases. First of all, in the winter time, people sometimes seem to fall into very cold water, some of the icy water. And you hear about these stories of sort of passing dog walkers who dive into the water to try and save this poor drowning person. That again looks like cases of altruism. The walker in this case is in fact putting themselves at great risk of dying. In the really tragic stories of this kind, you hear that both the original person drowned and the person who tried to save them. But despite the fact that the passerby puts themselves at risk, they still seem to perform that action. They still seem to go in and try and help this drowning stranger. And I take it lots of us can understand that. We can imagine being there and thinking, well, I've got to do something. I can't just let this poor person die. That too looks like altruism. One final case has been a little bit discussed in this context. Still rarer, very rare, but nonetheless, there are reported cases of soldiers who dive on grenades to save the rest of their squad. So the idea is you're standing around with the rest of your squad, and a grenade appears amongst you. There are stories of soldiers who sort of dive on the grenade, trying to shield it with their body, hoping that what will happen is that their body will shield their colleagues from the blast, that their body will absorb the brunt of the impact, saving the lives of other people. That too looks like a pretty big act of self-sacrifice, of altruism. So, there is a bunch of cases. I just gave you a sort of, maybe, I don't know, 8 cases or so of apparent altruism for altruism's sake. Now, you might well think at this point, this is just, you know, we might as well go home, right? He gave these 2 views, egoism and the other view, the denial of egoism. And these cases just seem to show that egoism is definitely false. We might think, right, screw that view, we can just abandon that. Time to go and talk about some other issue entirely. But we can't be quite that quick. It seems to me that these examples do put pressure on egoists. They've got to say something in response. But there are things that they can say in response. So that's what we'll go on to now. We'll let the egoist make their case. And there are 3 things that I'm going to say on their behalf in defence of egoism. So first of all, egoists might say this. Well, look, in these cases, let's imagine they agree. There's no kind of material payoff. It's not like people get paid money to give blood or paid money for their volunteer work. That's why it's volunteering. In all these cases, it looks as though there's no material benefit, but they'll say there is a psychological reward in these cases. People get warm, fuzzy feelings for helping other people, and maybe that's what motivates them in these cases to perform those actions that looks altruistic. So that's really to say the egoist might try and treat these as cases of instrumental altruism. These are really cases where it looks like that person who volunteers in Oxfam is doing it for the sake of strangers. But really, so the egoist says, really what they're doing is they're doing that in order to secure warm, fuzzy feelings themselves. They want to feel good about themselves, and this is a good way to get those nice feelings. So there's one thing the egoist might say, that in these cases we're trying to achieve our own psychological well-being, a psychological peace of mind. So these actions are self-interested after all. Now you might say, wait a second, that sounds good and maybe possible in some of these cases, but what about our soldier, for example? It's not as though they're diving on the grenade because of the warm, fuzzy feelings they'll get while they're sitting there lying on it. Presumably the feelings they have at that moment in time are not at all positive. But the egoist can kind of extend this response in a very natural way. So they'll say in many of these cases what we're trying to do is secure nice, fuzzy feelings of reward or whatever else. In other cases, what we're trying to do is trying to avoid negative feelings, trying to avoid feelings of guilt. So the thought is that if the soldier doesn't jump on the grenade, and maybe one of their comrades does, perhaps they'll feel terribly guilty about that for the rest of their lives. So really, when they jump on the grenade, what's motivating them to do that is that they want not to have those guilty feelings. They want not to have to feel bad. So there too, we might think, what's really motivating them is a concern for their own psychological peace of mind. So there's the first thing that egoists might say about these cases. A second thing that egoists might say about these cases is that, look at what's going on in these cases. Why do these people perform these actions, right? And you might think, well, it's because of something about them that makes them do it. It's because they want to perform these actions. When you volunteer for Oxfam, it's because you want to volunteer for Oxfam. You want to give up your Saturdays to be in this bookshop. When you give blood, it's because you want to go and give blood. That's something that you desire to do. So these actions are explained by the desires of the agents in question. And you might think, well, once we allow that these actions are motivated by these agents' desires, once we acknowledge that these actions are kind of self-driven, that they're driven by things about the agents performing them, that might make it sound as though these actions have to be self-interested. They're really done out of self-interest. They're not really egoistic. They're not really altruistic at all. So the chain of thought there is, look, doing what you want to do, what you personally want to do, that sounds like a kind of paradigmatic case of acting in self-interest, acting on self-interest. And in these cases, these people are doing what they personally want to do. So it sounds like, even in these cases, these are actions driven by self-interest. So one nice thing, just to point out in passing, one nice thing about this argument for egoism is that it explains why egoists might think their theory has to be true. It's not just kind of, as it happens, people tend to be self-interested. The idea is that it just always had to be true that actions are self-interested, because your actions are always explained by your desires. They're always driven by facts about you. So it kind of makes their theory not just something that's true as a matter of fact, but something that had to be true, that's necessarily true. And that might seem to be an advantage. So that was the second thing we might say in defense of egoism. Even in these cases, people are doing what they want to do, and that makes these actions self-interested. Granted, it's a funny sort of time when what's in your interests is giving up your blood or diving on a grenade, but nonetheless, we might say these cases are cases like that, where what's in your interest is performing these actions. Now for the third thing that egoists might say in defense of their view. They might say, look, our motives, they're shaped by evolution, right? We're creatures that are products of evolutionary processes. And we all know, so the egoist says, we all know evolution, that's a war of all against all. Evolution works by different creatures competing with each other to replicate, to reproduce in successive generations. So creatures that come out at the end of that process are bound to be self-interested creatures, creatures concerned greatly with their own prospects of reproduction and greatly unconcerned with the prospects of anything else. Right, that's what evolution does. It makes us highly efficient procreating machines. So we're supposed to think. So our motives are shaped by evolution. Evolution will make us self-interested. So we must be self-interested. And as applied to these cases, we say, look, we might lack the imagination to see why these actions have some evolutionary payoff, but we suppose we wouldn't perform them unless there were some evolutionary payoff. There has to be some evolutionary payoff for these actions, otherwise we wouldn't have them in the first place, otherwise we wouldn't have these motivations. So that's the third thing the egoists can say in favour of their view. The theory of evolution shows that it must be true, even in cases like this, like these. And of course, in some of these cases, that evolutionary story is going to be easier to tell than in others. I mean, so one natural thing you might say is, look, performing these kinds of actions, they give you kind of social status, they give you kudos. And maybe that makes you attractive to potential mates. So perhaps when you're the sort of person that gives blood all the time, that will make you very attractive to members of the opposite sex as a potential parent, because you look like you're the sort of nurturing, caring person. It's harder to tell that sort of story in the soldier case, but again, the point is there must be some such story. We wouldn't have these motivations unless there were some evolutionary payoff for them, and evolutionary payoffs are always payoffs for ourselves. Okay, so now hopefully you've gone the other way. Now you're thinking, earlier I was thinking egoism was definitely false, now I'm thinking it's definitely true. These are such fantastic arguments the egoist can give in favour of their view, that now you're a committed egoist. You think that view is definitely right. People are always self-interested. So now in the final section I'm going to try and undermine those arguments for egoism, leaving us back in the sensible view, my view, according to which we're not always self-interested. Sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. So I'll just go through those three arguments in turn. So remember the first argument. That was that what motivates us to perform these actions are the psychological rewards, those good feelings or getting to avoid feelings of guilt. That's what drives us to perform these actions, and that shows that ultimately they're self-interested. The thing is, I agree that there's a correlation between performing altruistic acts and feeling good about ourselves. And I agree that there's a correlation between not performing altruistic acts or being mean and feeling bad about ourselves. So if you don't give strangers the time, you'll feel rude and bad. If you do give blood, you'll feel fuzzy and good. I agree that there's that correlation. But correlation is not causation, right? The mere fact that there's that correlation doesn't show that those feelings are the things that make us perform those actions. Those feelings might just be a kind of unintended side effect of our performing those actions. So here's just a quick analogy. Shy people feel embarrassed when they talk to strangers. There's a correlation between their talking to strangers and their feeling embarrassed. Obviously, that wouldn't show that what makes them, what motivates them to talk to strangers is the embarrassment that they'll feel. So too here, I agree that you'll feel good if you give blood, but I don't think those good feelings are what will motivate you to do so. And this has some kind of, I think it's quite plausible when you actually think about what gets donors, for example, out of the house in the morning, you know, to go and give blood. Are they thinking, well, today I've got to get some good feelings, I've got to feel good about myself somehow. How can I get those good feelings? How can I make myself feel good? That doesn't seem to be what's running through their mind. What's going through their mind is the benefit to some stranger out there. And indeed, insofar as they think about themselves at all, it's a kind of fear that they feel. They think, oh God, this is really going to hurt. So I think what's going on is what makes us perform these actions is the benefit to strangers, and it just so happens that a side effect, not a motive, but a side effect, is these nice feelings. Furthermore, when we actually think about these cases a bit more, you can ask, what explains why we have these feelings? Why is it that we feel good when we help other people? Why do we feel bad when we don't help other people? And there's a very natural response to that, which is that, well, we feel good about helping other people because we want them to do well. We feel bad when we don't help them because we want them to live worthwhile lives. We don't like it when they're in pain or whatever else. And that seems to suggest that we are altruistic. We want other people to do well and we don't want them to do badly. It's that altruistic desire, the fact that we're altruists at heart, that explains why we care about the effects of our behaviour on other people. So that's why I think that first argument for egoism doesn't succeed. The second argument, remember, was that in these cases, people are doing what they want to do. That's self-interested, so obviously, even in these cases, people are acting self-interestedly. I think that's just a mistake. So it's true that in these cases, these people are doing what they want to do. That seems right to me. That's to say, I think it's definitely right that in these cases, what makes these people perform these actions is something in them. They're driven by some, you know, psychological state that they're in. So it's a fact about them that makes them do these actions, their desires, their needs, whatever else. But that doesn't make these actions self-interested, right? There's a big difference between something being done because you want to do it and doing it because it benefits you. Those are two different things. After all, what you want might be to help other people. When you act on that desire, right, that's altruism. It's not self-interested because it's your desire that you're acting on. That's a confusion. I think what drives the confusion here, there's a sort of trick going on, is that certain phrases in the English language are unhelpfully ambiguous. So in particular, consider the phrase, your interests. So in one sense, your interests are the things that benefit you, the things that make your life go better for you. So you might say, you know, education is in your interests, or, you know, being rich is in your interests, or whatever else it might be. Those things will make your life go better. Those things benefit you. A different sense of your interests are the things that interest you, the things that you care about. So perhaps you care about education, but perhaps you don't. Perhaps you don't realise that it's good for you. Vice versa, perhaps you do care about other people. It wouldn't show that when other people's lives go well, that benefits you, right? The fact that you care about it doesn't mean that it's in your interests in this other sense, right? So you've got to distinguish these two different senses of your interests. And this is quite confusing. So here's an analogy. Think about the public interest. In one very natural sense, the public interest is stuff that benefits the public. So when we say that newspapers should publish things that are in the public interest, we mean they should, you know, give good reporting on the policies of various political parties or whatever else. So the public interest there means things that benefit the public. That's quite different from things the public are interested in, because after all, the public might very well not be remotely interested in politicians' policies, but much more interested in their private lives or juicy celebrity gossip or whatever else. It's one thing for something to be in the public interest in the sense of it benefits them, another completely different thing for something to be in the public interest in the sense of the public care about it. So too with ourselves. There's a difference between things that are in your interest in the sense they benefit you and things that are in your interest in the sense that you care about them. We should agree that everything you do is done because of your interests in the sense that everything you do is something that you care about. It's done because of something that you want or something that concerns you and so on. That doesn't follow from that, the egoistic view, that everything you do is done in your interests in the sense of everything being done for your own benefit. I'd say that is confusing. I think just the English language is really unfortunate here. But we should keep two different senses of your interests apart. The fact that everything you do is self-driven, driven by something about you, one of your desires or what have you, doesn't show that everything you do is driven by your concern purely for yourself, for your own benefit. That's just a different view. So we shouldn't infer egoism from this other claim, the claim that people always do what they want to do. Sometimes people want to help others. Actions driven by that desire are altruistic. The final argument for egoism with this stuff about evolution. So the first thing I want to say about that is just we should really be slower here. Evolution is a horrendously complicated process that spits out all sorts of unexpected things. So, you know, just think of peacock's tails or whatever else. Just to highlight one way in which the treatment of evolution I gave before is oversimple in a way that wrongly makes it look as though it supports egoism. Think of the way in which evolution, so most people agree these days, in part, at least in part, selects at the level of the gene, right? It's the genes that are good at replicating themselves in future generations tend to survive over long periods. So that's where the evolutionary pressures work, on our genes. It's our genes, in Richard Dawkins' phrase, that are selfish. If our genes are the things that are selfish, self-interested, that wouldn't show that we, individuals, are self-interested. Because, of course, genes are shared across many people. It's often said that we share 99% of our DNA with monkeys, with apes. Think about how much you and I share with each other. It's going to be the vast, vast proportion. So insofar as our genes are selfish, that might often encourage us to be altruists, us to help one another. That will be a good way of replicating our genes. If I help you survive, then many of my genes will appear in the next generation because they'll feature in your children. This effect can be most obvious in families, where of course you share an even greater proportion of your genes. So even if evolution were relevant here, it might make us altruists rather than self-interested. The second thing though I want to say about this evolution stuff is that we have to be really careful. So remember that egoism was a view about our motives for performing the actions that we do. You know, what makes you go and give blood? What motivated you to do that? That's a question about what your motives are. We should not get distracted by a different question, namely, why do you have the motives that you do? So it might be, just for example, I'm just going to grant this for the sake of argument, let's imagine that evolution gives you altruistic motives because of the payoff to you. It wouldn't show that your behaviour is self-interested, right? Because your behaviour is still altruistic. It's just that you're an altruist because of the benefit it brings to you. And again, that's quite confusing, and I think an analogy is helpful. So imagine you have a child, and you're sort of, you know, you're bringing them up, debating how to educate them. And you might think, well, like, you know, I really care about my child. I really want them to be happy. And maybe you think, you know, they're not going to be happy if they're lonely. I want them to have friends and so on. And a good way for them to get friends is to be, you know, nice people. So you teach your child to be a nice person. You teach them to care about other people. If you do that, then it seems like you've made them altruistic, so assuming you're successful, you've made them altruistic, but because of the benefit to them. Right? Evolution might be that. It makes us altruistic, but because of the benefit to ourselves. Just as in the parenting case, your child that you produce turns out to be genuinely altruistic if you succeed. They do things because of the benefit to other people. So too, we, products of evolution, do things that are genuinely altruistic. That's where I think we are. So, let me just summarise all of that. I gave you the debate between egoists, who say that all action is purely self-interested, and me, who say that it's not, it's more varied. I gave some counter-examples to egoism, some apparent acts of altruism. In response, I gave three things that egoists might say on their behalf. These actions are motivated by a need for sort of psychological well-being. These actions are motivated by our desires, and that shows they're self-interested. Or our motives are evolutionarily shaped or driven, so they must always be self-interested. And I reply to those. Those psychological benefits are a kind of foreseen side effects of nice actions, and in fact, those psychological benefits are best explained by the fact that we really deeply care about other people. That's why we feel good when we help them, and so on. I distinguish two different senses of your interests, and the reason that's important is, though everything you do is done because you want to do it, that doesn't show that all your actions are self-interested, right, in the relevant sense. Right? All your actions are done because you want to do them, but if what you want is to help other people, then those resulting actions are altruistic, even though they're motivated by a desire of yours. With regards to evolution, I said, look, this is really oversimplified, in part because if evolution selects at the level of the gene, that will make us altruistic. And furthermore, the debate between egoists and their rivals is a debate about our motives, not about, as it were, the motivations of evolution for giving us the motives that we have. So I think I'll finish it there. Thanks for listening, and thanks for coming.